This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre, on Joy 94.9.
Hello everyone and welcome to Well 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 Show, brought to you live every Tuesday from midday. I'm Jessie and my co-hosts today are Jack and Anthony. Thank you Tim for the news and thanks to Gazman for the morning show. Anthony, how have you been?
Hi Jessie, I'm good thanks and Jack, welcome.
Oh well, thank you for having me here Tim. It's been a busy weekend.
It has indeed. How's everyone going?
Pretty good. It's been busy because on Saturday we had a volunteer thank you party.
Oh, yes. Could you tell us about that?
No, about 90, just under 100 people turned
really?
Up. And thanks to Murray Sayers, our volunteer coordinator, for a job well done.
Absolutely.
He's also our co-host, as we
yes,
all know.
Good work, yes. Murray. And thank you to all the volunteers because the VAC is largely supported by volunteers. So thanks for
we could
all
not
your contribution.
No. Without them.
And of course, on Sunday was Idaho Day or Idaho Hot Day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we all wore our purple,
yes.
But also the Candlelight Memorial in the city square.
It was a very busy weekend,
it
wasn't
it? It was. So it's good to remember and to it's a call to arms that things are still needed to be done on the community yes. level and the political level.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Anthony, can you please tell everyone what we've got planned on Well 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 Show today?
I can. Well, today we have a very special guest, Jane from Vixen, who is here to talk about the role of her organisation, sex workers, and the unique issues sex workers face from a legal and health perspective. So lots of interesting stuff coming up on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you guys have any questions, you want to get involved in the conversation with us, Jack, do tell our lovely listener how they can do that.
Well, you can like us via facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy, or you can call 1-300-JOY-949 and speak to our lovely reception staff. I won't say receptionist. Or send us an email onair@joy.org.au or send us an SMS 0427-JOY-949, and you can even tweet us at wellwellwelljoy. But also today, as usual, we're talking about all topics related to the GLBTI community. We're all about your sex, your health, and your well-being.
Yes,
indeed.
We are.
I like that personal touch there, Jack.
Yes, well, we are here for you, the listener, and the topics that we cover on the Well 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 Show have been largely shaped by the requests by our listeners. So thank you for getting those requests in over the first half of this year.
Sure.
And today's show is going to be no exception.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely. Right. So obviously, if you have any further requests for future shows or there's anything in particular that you would like to hear us chat about or guests you have in, feel free to get in touch.
You know, I'm always fascinated with sex workers' roles and sort of what their jobs look like and what they, you know, what it's all about for a worker, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm really keen to talk to Jane a bit later on about...
And I think it's good to put a face... To the industry, to the job. Well,
even
that's
though we
start.
Are on radio, so you unfortunately
no,
can't see
a voice.
Our face.
To put a voice.
But put a voice and put a persona and a personality
no, that's
behind
right.
it all.
Because I think most people are interested. It's a bit of a grey area, perhaps, or an unspoken area that people not sure how it all works. So we look forward to speaking to you, Jane, very shortly.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we'll be back soon. This is Bulletproof by LaRue, and you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Jessie, Jack and Anthony on today's show and we are talking with Jane from Vixen. Welcome, Jane. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks.
It's good to have you on the show. Could you start by please telling the listener a little bit about yourself and what you do work-wise?
Absolutely. I'm queer. I'm a current sex worker. I work here in Melbourne in a brothel, although I also tour, so that means I work around Australia. And I'm not actually from Australia, I'm from New Zealand, but I've been over here a number of years. And I work in a variety of different types of sex work. So I do full service sex work, but I also work in BDSM.
Great, which we'll definitely get into a little bit more later.
Now, Jane, you're involved with the Vixen Collective. Can you tell us a little bit about what they are and what they do?
Yes, Vixen is Victoria's peer-only sex work organisation, and what that means is that we're an organisation made up entirely of sex workers and only sex workers, and we aim through our objectives and our work to promote the cultural, legal, human, occupational and civil rights of all sex workers.
And can you elaborate a little bit about the importance of working from a peer-based perspective that I suppose some other groups don't tend to employ?
Yeah. Sex workers are the experts in our own lives and work, and yet it's often the case that sex workers' representative organisations are routinely excluded from discussions about law and policy and enforcement by government and regulators. And also anti-sex work organisations and rescue type organisations use sex work as a funding opportunity and then speak out on sex work to government and to the media, espousing views that often directly harm sex workers. And you see that actually quite often here in Victoria.
Yeah.
And peer sex work organisations are responsible to our community because we're part of our community. And most importantly, we're speaking from our own lived experience. Yeah. Much like other peer organisations in the LGBTIQ and HIV community. And that's really important.
Yeah, the peer aspect of it, because I mean, advocacy is one thing, but to have a lived experience and to be able to support and know perhaps what the needs are and the requirements are of the work is really important.
It's almost a bit ridiculous, I think, to have a community-based organisation that doesn't involve community members, isn't it? Can you think of an example where, you know, something like this has been implemented that's actually harmed sex workers?
Absolutely. I mean, the first sex worker organisation in the world to get government funding was actually here in Victoria.
Really? That's and a feather in the cap?
Yeah, and that's a great thing to be proud of. But then after that organisation, which was the PCV, the
Prostitutes Collective
of Victoria, gained that funding, then sex workers were actually sort of sidelined and pushed out of that organisation and non-peers took over. And we don't have a funded sex worker peer organisation in Victoria anymore. And Vixen Collective, which is the organisation that I'm a part of, has no funding whatsoever. It's a volunteer organisation that's run purely on volunteer energy and sex workers donating their own time and money. And obviously that makes it a challenge for us, but we work very fiercely as an independent organisation that's not funded for the rights of sex workers in Victoria.
Absolutely. That's amazing, because the VAC worked closely with the Prostitutes Collective of Victoria 25 years ago when it was peer-based in regard to informing us and training us as to how to work with and deal with sex workers who may become maybe at risk of HIV or indeed positive, which was very few and far between anyone like that. So I didn't realise it had drifted on from the peer model.
Yeah, and sex workers were a big part of the initial effort.
Absolutely, the response was fundamental.
So can I just clarify, the Vixen Collective is like a union for sex workers? Is that kind of the...
No, we don't have unionisation of sex workers in Australia, and that's a bit of a complex issue, but one of the key things that works against us unionising is the fact that sex workers don't want to register their names or have their details held because of the stigma that's attached to being a sex worker at the moment, so...
Absolutely. What, in terms of stigma, do you think, what is one thing that you could pull out that would help with reducing that kind of stigma?
Well, I think obviously decriminalisation of sex work is a key thing to progress reducing stigma. And you can look to environments like New Zealand, where decriminalisation has been in place, and also obviously within Australia, New South Wales. Where you can see that start to take effect. And it's not like a magic switch where you have decriminalisation and suddenly everything's fine, but it's a starting point.
Yes, and attitudes tend to change once laws change, isn't it? I mean, we could really take our leaf out of New Zealand's book, I think, here in Australia with so many things.
They're doing pretty well, aren't they? Yeah. Go the Kiwis. Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of the programs or anything like that that Vixen run or groups, can you talk about some of the stuff that you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. And I won't run through everything, but some of the key things that Vixen does is we consult with Victorian sex workers on key community issues. And that's actually really pivotal, because that's one of the things that organisations that are not peer-based don't do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We also run education initiatives with broader non-sex worker community. We do advocacy and lobbying to government. We work to break down stigma and promote positive media on sex work. And I think anyone that looks at the media that we have, both print and other media in Victoria, can see that it's quite negative often on sex work. Mm. And we do public education. So those are very much our key things, but we do a lot of other programs as well.
Great.
Yeah. Well, it's so great to have you on and to hear this other side of the industry, because you're right, the media does kind of just reinforce stereotypes. Yeah. I mean, you have just kind of one perspective of the work, and it really doesn't capture the full story. So it's great to have you on for you to sort of paint a bigger picture for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And next up, we'll be back very soon. We've got Closure by Owl Eyes. I have no idea what that is.
We'll find out.
I don't really know any of the songs they play at Joy, to be honest.
Well, you've got to get with the program, Jesse. This is Our Lives with Closure, and you're on Joy 94.9. We'll be back after this.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're back with Jesse, Jack and Anthony, and today we are talking with Jane from Vixen.
Now, Jane, there are many forms of sex work that make up the industry. Can you please describe for us some of them and the differences perhaps between them? For example, street-based sex work, legal versus unlicensed, home-based, escort work, etc. Just give us an insight.
Yes. I actually started working in sex work, doing street-based sex work back in New Zealand. And when I was first working as a street-based sex worker, it was before decriminalisation in New Zealand. So that was in a criminalised environment. Mm. And actually when all sex work was criminalised in New Zealand. And at the moment here in Victoria, street-based sex work is criminalised. Mm. Even though we have a licensing system. So I think what can be confusing to members of the public is they can have a perception that sex work is legal when in fact certain types of sex work can still be criminalised. Okay. And that affects sex workers' rights quite profoundly.
It would, yeah.
So it depends, whether it's criminal or not depends on the context.
It can do. And what's also confusing is within Australia, different states have very different methods of regulating sex work. So within Australia, there's three main types of sex work regulation. We have criminalisation, which is basically sex work is illegal. You're not allowed to do it. There is one state where sex work is still completely criminalised, and that's South Australia. And people often forget that there's one whole state where sex work is illegal. Obviously, sex workers in South Australia don't forget that. And obviously, sex work still goes on in South Australia.
Yes.
It's not like if you make it illegal, it stops.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Much like sex, you don't just make it go away by, you know.
Yes.
Like pretending it's not there.
Yeah, pretending it's not happening. So, but the key thing is that under criminalisation, stigma and discrimination against sex workers is very high. And sex workers have very low access to police and to justice if things go wrong in their lives. Mm. And that's the key thing for us as advocates for sex workers. Under a licensing system, which is what we have here in Victoria, generally there's a partial removal of the criminal laws, but not necessarily all of them. And that's what I was saying with street-based sex work. It's still criminalised. But there's an application of all specific sex industry laws and regulations that are put in place, as well as a state apparatus to administrate those. So if you think of it like a big ball of red tape, that makes it very difficult for sex workers to work, because it gives us all of these regulations that tell us how and when and where we can work.
Mm. So as a generalised picture, correct me if I'm wrong, from my understanding, street-based sex work in Victoria is criminalised.
Yes.
And brothel-based sex work who have been licensed is legalised.
It's legal.
It's legal. And what about escort services or home-based
Can be an escort, but you have to be registered.
Right.
And you can have what's called an exemption to be an exempt. It's called you're an exempt small brothel, but like it's a bit of a complicated situation because obviously
it's just one individual. Right.
But it's very complex. You have to get your landlord to give permission. You have to get council approval. And obviously, oh,
there's a few loops.
Because it's treated as a place of business.
And. Yes. So obviously, these are things that are not easy to get.
Yes.
And this is what I mean by saying you have to like go through a lot of red tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great, Jane. You're on Well, Well, Well. We've got Jane from the Vixen Collective here talking to us about sex work. We're going to be back after these messages. You're on Joy 94.9.
I've missed my favourite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9 fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
You're back with Jesse, Jack and Anthony on today's show and we're talking with Jane from Vixen. I do have one message I would like to read out from Andrea. So she says, love your program, a real eye-opener, so many things that I never thought of yet alone understood. Jane is so amazing. Thank you so much for that message, Andrea. We really appreciate it. Coming back to you, Jane, you wanted to touch a little bit more on the criminalisation aspect of things.
Yeah, well, we've talked about criminalisation and licensing. So I wanted to just touch briefly on decriminalisation. So as I said, licensing is a partial removal of the criminal laws and the application of a whole bunch of regulations and red tape. Decriminalisation is the complete removal of all criminal laws relating to the sex industry, and sex work is just regulated like any other business. And sex workers may still face stigma and discrimination, but this begins to be broken down as sex workers have the ability to access police assistance as other members of the public do, and also make choices around our health based rather than on our health based rather than these being forced by government policy, which is often driven by stigma rather than evidence. And I think realistically the simplest way to put it is sex workers don't want anything more or anything different than anyone else. They just want the same.
Yes.
And so being able to work as other workers and have the same rights as other workers and be able to have the ability to reach out the same industrial instruments, like to go to the Fair Work Ombudsman.
Yeah, protection under the law.
Yeah, and have protection under the law. Mm. It's a very simple thing, but it's very meaningful to us because we don't have it at the moment.
That's right. Yeah. And it kind of keeps sex workers as the other too, doesn't it? It sort of maintains this separation between what's legitimate work and what's not, and it's a real disappointing.
I think that's the key word. It almost perpetuates the so-called illegitimacy concept. You're not quite the same as other workers, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know from having to work as an advocate when there have been industrial situations that needed help and needed intervention, and we've tried to get help from, say, the Fair Work Ombudsman here in Victoria, or help from the police because of industrial disputes. We've been, say, locked out of a work site or a brothel. We actually had a lockout here in Victoria a couple of years ago, and all of the workers' property was locked on site, and literally nobody would help. And those sort of situations are incredibly disempowering.
Absolutely.
And when literally you can't get any state authority to help you and the police won't help you, it's just beyond depressing.
And to take it further, it's actually oppressive, isn't it? It's oppression, really, of the work.
And that's why Vixen is an organisation and sex workers fight all the time so strongly to get decriminalisation. And as I said before, it's not the complete fix, but it's a starting point for having our rights recognised and having our voices heard.
Yeah. So with in terms of your relationship with the police, I heard that you know, through the grapevine, you've been doing some work with police and training them and awareness and all that kind of stuff. Have you actually seen much of a change in the police attitudes towards you, and has it been beneficial to you at all?
I think we'd certainly like to make more progress in that direction, but we do meet regularly with the police, and we're always wanting to make further inroads in breaking down stigma. And to have a dialogue is a step in the right direction. So we're building bridges. And I think we're always trying to do that with many groups in the community, including the police.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there a community like that? We have the police gay and lesbian liaison officers. Is there such a network or an avenue for you to go through?
No, and okay. Look, that's one of the discussions we're having at the moment with the Victorian Police.
Okay.
Because a key problem that we have, obviously, is that there's been a long history because of criminalisation before we had licensing, and because of the criminalisation we still retain with regard to street-based sex workers, who are the most marginalised within an already marginalised community, that it's very difficult for sex workers to go to police. And still for people working outside the licensing system, that if we are victims of crime, the police are not the people we call. We tend to reach out to other sex workers for assistance because you don't you don't naturally want to go to assist to the police for assistance when they're the people that regulate your industry.
Yeah.
When they're the people that come around and arrest you if you're doing something outside the system, or arrest you all the time if you're street-based sex workers. So it makes it very difficult. And building bridges is a key way of breaking that down, but the most important way of breaking that down is to get rid of licensing completely.
Mm. Yeah.
So we're always looking for an interim solution, but the complete solution is decriminalisation.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you talk to us about some of the reasons you think people get into sex work?
Oh, absolutely. I can talk about the reason that I got into sex work.
Sure, please do.
And I think that's a very simple reason. And I think it's both a stereotype, but also it's a stereotype that can be explained perhaps for a very simple reason. I got into sex work for money. But by the same token, I don't know anyone that's working for free. Is anyone here working for free?
No.
So,
you know, can I just say, I have a couple of friends who are sex workers, and they, one of my friends in particular, talked about the economic freedom it gives her to be able to earn a lot of money in a short period of time, and it does help her to earn a level of income that she wouldn't otherwise be earning, because she is not tertiary educated. She probably wouldn't be able to get a professional job, but it does help her to have a particular lifestyle with the level of income that she earns, and she wants to maintain that lifestyle, and that job is actually a way of doing that. So
Well, I mean, I think people can be in sex work for a variety of reasons, like people can be in any job for a variety of reasons.
Yes.
And I think it can be a stereotype that every sex worker is earning a lot of money.
Okay.
Which isn't necessarily the case. I mean, when I say I got into sex work for money, which is the truth, I got into sex work because I was in a period in my life where I was living independently from family, and we were talking before the show about the fact that I'm queer and I was shunned by my family because I come from a religious background. I was supporting myself independently when I was a teenager, and it was an option that was good for me at the time. I had been washing dishes in a nightclub prior to that. And look, that sucked as a job.
Yes.
Well, it depends which club, really, we're talking about.
I don't know.
No,
I've done that
dishes
before, actually.
This is the 80s. So there were, like, test tube cocktails. Does anyone remember test
tube? They're still around.
They're still around.
It was so bad. I got fined and had to, like, get my pay docked for every test tube that I broke.
Right.
And it was the worst job in the universe.
Oh, my gosh.
And sex work was so much better.
Yeah. Jane, can I just ask... I sometimes think about sex work similar to the role I do, which is a counsellor, because I think about the, you know, when you're working with people in a very intimate way, you know, you learn a lot about people, and there's a degree of vulnerability that comes with the job, because, you know, you take your clothes off and you have sex probably, you know, most of the time, probably not all of the time. And there is this sort of human element to the interaction there. And I'm just wondering, what is that part of the work like for you, or was it like for you?
Well, I mean, I think you're very right that you certainly don't have sex all of the time. In fact, you have sex a very small proportion of the time.
Right, okay.
I actually find. I do BDSM as well, so I don't have sex most of the time.
Let's hear more about that.
Explain that.
So I probably spend more of my time these days doing work that fits within the realm of kink and BDSM. Okay. And I enjoy that.
And BDSM, for the benefit of our listener, is?
Oh, bondage, discipline, sadism, and masochism.
Yep.
So to put it more simply for people that aren't perhaps into those terms, tying people up, tying people down, spanking them, whipping them, dressing up in leather, all of the fun things that I actually really enjoy.
Gee, I could do that too.
And that tends to be a side of sex work that you don't really work in unless you actually like those things, and I do like those things.
And let's just touch back on Anthony's question quickly about the personal aspect of it. Do you enjoy that, or do you try to, you know, disengage from that?
No, I mean, I enjoy it. It's a very interesting occupation to have. And you deal with different people from different walks of life all the time.
Yep.
And that's what makes it stimulating and engaging.
Right.
Absolutely.
So you've got to have good people skills, I would imagine.
Yeah, and it's a skilled occupation. You've got to have conflict resolution skills.
Yes.
You've got to have telephone answering and, like, business management skills if you're working for yourself.
Yes.
You've got to have a broad range of skills.
Interesting.
Yeah, totally. We'll be back after this. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to this Joy podcast. If you appreciate the work that our Joy volunteers put into producing these podcasts, why not become a member? Support our cause. Call 1300 569 949, jump online at joy.org.au, or consider becoming a member during our 2015 Radiothon, coming in June. Joy 94.9, on air, online, all the time.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're back with Jesse, Jack and Anthony, and we're talking with Jane from Vixen. So, Jane, how important is it for sex workers across the board to maintain a good sexual health?
Oh, absolutely, it's important. But it's important as it is for anyone to maintain sexual health
Indeed.
In the current day and age.
Yeah.
But I think what's key is that sex workers are often pictured in modern media as being vectors of disease and stigmatised for not maintaining sexual health, when there's 25 years of medical research in Australia showing that sex workers are actually very good at maintaining their health and have very low rates of STIs and very high compliance with safer sex.
Yeah. It's the safest sex you can have, really, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's regulated. And from my understanding through my public health work, is it swabs every month and bloods every 3 months?
Well, actually, that's the interesting thing. Sex workers are not don't have lower STI rates and don't have higher condom use because it's regulated. They have those rates of lower STIs and higher condom use right across Australia, regardless of the regulatory environment.
Right.
So
it's about your own safety, your own health. Yeah.
It's because it's our work.
Yeah.
And we're professionals in our work, and because we're peer educators in safer sex.
Yeah.
And we maintain that through our sex work organisations and our peer networks.
Exactly.
And we've been doing that in our community for a very long time. That's just how we do it.
And if you look at the statistics, the level of STIs are actually lower amongst sex workers than the general population
in
Australia.
Yes, they are.
So whenever I pull out that fact at a party, you know, people are quite intrigued by that. So I think it's great.
The problem that we have here in Victoria is the regulatory regime we have with mandatory testing, for example, actually works against that because it's not allowing sex workers to manage their sexual health in a way that other people do. We don't have the ability to make free choices about when we test in a way that actually suits our health. We don't go and get tests, for example, when we have symptoms. We're forced to go and do it every 3 months, like clockwork, regardless of what our health is like, or when it suits us, when it's right for us. We're forced to go and get certificates so we can work, which means we have to out ourselves to medical professionals, which risks stigma and exclusion. We have an enduring problem because medical professionals can actually refuse to patients on the basis of conscience. We have it's an endemic problem for sex workers here in Victoria. We have both refusals and exclusions from medical practices, and I've actually suffered from this myself. I've been excluded from medical practice in Victoria on the basis that I'm a sex worker.
Oh no!
So this is something that happens all the time. We also
have
doctors refusing to process sex workers' tests on Medicare, leaving sex workers with bills that are hundreds of dollars.
That's frustrating. I think it's been such an incredible time having you here, Jane. I do want to quickly touch on the Festival of Sex Work that's coming up. Can you just quickly tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We're running the Festival of Sex Work again this year after a break last year in August from the 7th to the 9th. And if people want more information, I'd certainly recommend they check out our Twitter, which is at Vixen Collective on Twitter, to get all of the goss on what we're up to. But it includes public events and sex worker only events.
Okay, well, I have to say it's been absolutely amazing having you here, Jane.
Yes, a real insight into the industry from a very different perspective. So thank you so much for coming on, Jane.
Yeah, I'm frustrated that we don't have more time with you. Yeah. But thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. And you're on Joy 94.9. We're going to listen to Belinda. Jane, this is for you. Thank you for coming.
There's 74 people in the studio. Yeah.
There are. There's a whole heap of us. So we're going to quickly go to Belinda Carlisle. So we'll be back after this.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We are coming to a close now, and I think everyone agrees with me in saying that Jane was excellent today, and it was so great having her on.
Really interesting conversation.
And important stuff to
Listen absolutely.
To.
And I think we will definitely want to delve in that a little bit further down the track. But we do have a message in from Brian that Anthony is about to read.
Yes, thank you, Brian, for your message. He says, "Hi, gang. Just wanted to say thanks to the VAC and especially Murray for a fantastic party on Saturday, the volunteer party." Brian says, "VAC is very lucky to have Murray." Well, yes, we are.
And he says, "I'm a proud volunteer in the community support team." But you know what, Brian? Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for volunteering. Don't worry about Murray.
Absolutely. So just as we are closing up now, I would like to tell you guys about the Down and Dirty Weekend. There's too many things that are going on for me to really mention all of the different forums we've got on porn and drugs and sex and everything to do with that. But we have two porn stars, Jesse Jackman and Dirk Kaber, who will be coming flying over from the States and be running a lot of these workshops and parties and whatnot. And they're actually going to be in the show. They're going to be in the studios with us next week to run a radio show.
Wow,
so
awesome.
Dirk's my favourite. Dirk's one of my favourites.
Dirk's his favourite. Yeah. So you can go to the VAC website and check out the events page, because we literally have about 12 events that they're involved in when they come over. And we also have ex-Mr. International Leather, John Pendle, who's also a comedian, coming in for that Down and Dirty Weekend. So stay tuned.
Are the porn stars going to be just talking, or are they going to be, you know, performing in some way?
There will be forums that have demonstrations and you could say discussions.
Demonstrations and discussions.
Well, I think some of them have, I think there's a bondage workshop. So in terms of that kind of demonstration.
I know where I'll be that night.
So there's it's an interactive forum then.
Yes, yes. And, you know, open up to discussion. But I think that it's been a really great show, guys.
Yes.
And I would like to say thank you so much to Anthony for paneling.
Yes.
My pleasure.
Great job.
And Jack as a co-host.
No, thank you, Jess.
Thank you, everyone. And thanks to all you listeners. This is Well, Well, Well. And we are here to discuss topics related to sex, health and well-being in the GLBTI community. So this show is here for you. Thank you for listening.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.